All right, go ahead, test.
Hello? Can you hear me in the mic?
Yeah, you're good. That's fine.
Okay, you're coming in. Okay, but wait. Before we start, try this.
I'm crunching in my ear.
Isn't that delicious?
That's actually really good. What is that?
It's called moon cheese.
We should do a podcast about this.
That's a great idea.
Hi, thanks for tuning in to Fairy Tale Science, where we explore the physics in children's stories and take a look at the friction in fiction. I'm Kevin, your host and primary researcher. Joining me is our storyteller and our co-host, Kay.
Hi there. We love reading to our kids, but a lot of these stories are scientifically dubious at best. So follow along as we break down our childhood misconceptions about the world around us and have a fun look at what would happen if these stories took place in our universe.
Is the moon made of cheese? It's a question that has historically been asked by everyone from storytellers to scientists. And it's the basis of today's episode. We have a Twinkle Twinkle Little Star book, which has a verse that wonders earnestly if the moon is made of cheese and asks the reader to bring some back. So what would happen to Earth if one day the moon actually turned into cheese?
That sounds like a weird and riveting question, and I'm excited to eat our way through this episode. But I'm going to flip the script here and ask you a question. Do you know where the concept of the moon being made of cheese came from?
No. I do not.
I thought you were going to say something. Good, because this is my time to shine out of my light. So, this is fascinating. Stories about the moon being edible have been told historically as fables and proverbs around the globe. So there's a Zulu tale of a hyena that drops a bone to go after the moon's reflection in the water, thinking it's a wheel of cheese. There's a Servian tale where a fox leads a wolf to believe the moon's reflection in the water is cheese, and the wolf bursts into this lake attempting to drink up all the water just to get to the cheese. The moon is made of green cheese, so that's a statement that was a popular proverb in the 16th and 17th century in English literature. Have you heard that before? Like, the moon is made of green cheese?
No.
Okay, so it's a common variation at the time was to make one believe that the moon is made of green cheese. So, like a hoax.
Oh, okay.
So you would, like, use that as your colloquial device.
Colloquial metaphor.
Yes, your idiom, if you will. And then, disappointingly, a 1902 survey of child lore by a psychologist whose name was G. Stanley Hall found that most young children were unsure of the moon's composition, but that it was made of cheese was the single most common explanation. So if you were to ask kids what the moon was made out of, they would say, well, I don't know, but if I had
it's
to guess.
It's probably cheese.
It's probably cheese.
I wonder if it's just because kids love cheese. They like, have a desperate want for the moon to be cheese.
Maybe. We can all dream. But since then, a more modern pop culture reference to a lactose moon include Tom and Jerry, DuckTales, and Wallace and Gromit.
Oh, we're all out of cheese, Gromit.
I knew you were going to say that. And then hilariously, on April 1st, 2002, NASA proved, got air quotes going on here, proved that the moon was made of green cheese with an expiration date, sharing doctored photos from the Hubble telescope.
An actual expiration date on a vacuum, literal vacuum-packed block of cheese.
Yes.
Okay.
Ooh, I wonder if what we're eating, if moon cheese has an expiration date.
I don't think I want to know. So, well, thank you for giving us this cultural context for our cheesy moon.
It does.
How long do we have?
Wait, what day is today? No, it's 2020. We got some time.
Okay. Let's assume the moon magically turns into cheese tonight and find out what would happen.
Okay, let's start with the most important question first. How many people could the moon feed if it was made of cheese?
That's a terrific question to get us started. We got to talk about volume here. The moon has a volume of 21.9 billion cubic kilometers. Or roughly 21.9 quintillion liters.
Okay, I don't even know what that number is. So can you put that into a context that I would understand?
Okay. Well, we sell about 1 million plastic bottles every minute. At that rate, it would take us 41.7 million years to sell 21.9 quintillion bottles.
I still don't know if
it's a lot. Okay. It's a lot. Just
okay. Yeah, it's a big number.
Unbelievable amount of volume.
So it's a lot of cheese.
A ton of cheese. So next we've got nutrition. 1 liter of cheddar cheese has about 1,870 calories in it, which is give or take what the average human need to eat each day. So that's 21.9 quintillion people days. If the population of the Earth were to remain constant today, and not keep constantly growing, that's 2.9 trillion years that everyone on the planet could eat cheese, nonstop, every day.
So does that count as keto or Atkin?
I just feel bad for anyone who's lactose intolerant.
Okay, I get it. So lots of cheese. Beyond severe cholesterol problems, what other impacts would this have on life on Earth if the moon was made out of cheese as we know it?
Well, I think the most immediate problem would be the significantly reduced gravitational forces. The moon's gravity impacts tides, which in turn affects our climate. Effects.
Yeah.
Thank you. So gravity is the relationship between two bodies. The more mass an item has, the more gravitational force it exerts. The moon has a density of about 3.34 grams per cubic centimeter, which means its total mass is 73.5 billion trillion kilograms. 73 followed by 21 zeros. If you want to write it out, I can wait.
Kevin, you should know by now what my next question is.
Context?
Yes.
Okay. Well, the average North American adult male weighs 80.7 kilograms. So we're looking at the adult male population of Texas.
What, that's it?
Oh, sorry. 75 billion times more massive than the adult male population of Texas. My bad. It says it right here. I missed it.
So not helpful.
Okay. It's 131 million times the combined biomass on Earth. If you took every living thing, every tree, bug, amoeba, person, dog, cat.
Good luck with cat.
Mushroom, fish, water bear, everything, and put it on one side of a scale and then drop the moon on the other side, we'd be hurtled into space, flung out like a pumpkin in a trebuchet. I can't get any more contextual. It's huge. It is so unproportionately large. It is the second most massive moon in the solar system. The first belongs to Jupiter. It's Io, which is only slightly more dense. And it orbits Jupiter, which is 2.5 times bigger than all of the other planets in our solar system combined.
Okay, you're getting excited. Let's get back to our moon.
Yes. Okay, thank you. So with that enormous mass swinging around us, it's pulling on anything that isn't nailed down. Any shift in that gravitational pull, and we're going to have a tough day.
Well, based on our earthly cheeses, what kind of cheese would the moon need to be made of to retain its density? And then what would happen to a block of cheese in the vacuum of space?
Great question. So let's start with our ideal cheese substitute. Information on cheese density, not really available. It's not super consistent, but I had to piece some things together. I broke cheeses down into different categories: spreads, soft, semi-soft, blue, and hard. And then I got some density details for each, and it turns out that blue cheeses are statistically more dense, averaging about 1.04 grams per cubic centimeter. But that's only a third of the density of the moon.
That's cheating, though, because it isn't cheese. Isn't it the mold that would boost the numbers a bit?
Yeah, it's the mold. But it's a cheese, so it counts.
Okay.
But now I think we need to concern ourselves with what happens to a moon with one-third the mass. The fact is, our moon plays a huge role in our lives. Obviously, it impacts the tides, but more importantly, our large moon helps balance our planet. If you look at Mars, which only has two tiny little moons, it wobbles around a lot in its orbit. It's incredibly unstable. If we didn't have the mass of our moon to help us stabilize us, we wouldn't have seasons or polar ice caps. The mass of the moon revolving around the Earth actually extends our day. Before the moon formed, an Earth day wasn't 24 hours, it was 5. So with a moon a third the size of that, we're looking at, what, maybe a 12-hour day?
And you know Karen's still going to book you for those two-hour meetings on a Friday afternoon.
Ugh, Karen. Anyway, small moon, not good.
Okay, right. So what was the next question? The vacuum of space. Oh, wait, before we do that. It's so delicious.
Well, it would get weird, but not because of the vacuum, just due to its own gravitational forces. the cheese would begin to separate out, with all the Cassian pulling into the center, making the cheese more dense than any we've ever experienced. Maybe about as dense as that moon cheese we started with. The moisture would all rise to the surface, and for a while, the cheese moon would be covered in an ocean of whey. The side of the moon pointing away from the sun would be frozen solid, and then immediately melt and boil when the sun hits it. There would be an atmosphere around the moon, but only briefly, as there just isn't enough mass to generate the gravity required to keep the gases from drifting off into space. As the moon slowly boiled and froze, it would gradually become smaller and smaller, until we find ourselves alone in our merry-go-round ride around the sun.
Oh, that's so sad. Well, if we're gonna lose it anyways, let's just eat it.
Thanks for listening to this season. That wraps it up for this.
Am I distracting you?
Yeah, a little bit.
Want some?
I probably should have written an outro. Well, that wraps it up for this season. Thanks for joining along. And stay tuned in a couple of weeks when we come back with some special guests and all new themes and episodes.
Mmm, delicious. Do